you know, it's great to see the interest in this, and we really do hope that it can make a difference. Especially thinking about schools, those younger children who are growing up in really as digital natives, I suppose we could call them. It's just vital that they are equipped with the tools and the resilience to, you know, tackle the online world. And whilst it's not, you know, solely their responsibility to do so, and there is a huge role for industry to play in that and government as well, it's certainly something that we want to support progress on, and, you know, developing lesson plans and hosting campaigns like this and encouraging the public to get involved at all ages is really important to that.
That was a team from the Royal Society of Public Health, an independent charity and the world's longest established public health body. Its mission is that everyone should have an opportunity to optimise their health and well-being. In this fascinating episode, Bridie O'Toole, Niamh McDade and Olivia Watkins talked to us primarily about the launch of the new Scroll Free September campaign and how we can all develop a more meaningful relationship with social media. But first of all, welcome to Digital Mindfulness, where each week we take you through the latest innovations in responsible and ethical technology transformation, including digital well-being, tech for good, and much, much more. Okay, I hope you enjoy this episode with the Royal Society for Public Health. Thank you all for joining me here on Digital Mindfulness. It's really fantastic to have you on the show, and I, for one, am really looking forward to finding out much more about Scroll Free September and the work you're doing. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So given that there are a few more people than normal on the show, I wonder if you just introduce yourselves and in particular just and tell us exactly how you're involved in Scroll Free September.
This is Niamh. So since starting here at RSPH, I've been lucky enough to be involved with our work on looking into the impact of social media and more specifically on young people's mental health and well-being, so the age group between 14 to 24. Since starting on that work, it's really branched out where we now host a campaign which is for all of the public to take part in. As well as that, we've had an inquiry with the APPG on social media, which we provide the secretariat to, and now we're excited to be also launching a e-learning on this too. So that's just one aspect of the work we do here, but I'd say it's, for the three of us, probably one of the things we work on that we're personally quite invested in as well. I mean, social media is something that affects all of us, and I think especially in our kind of age group and when we've grown up, it's been something that's really affected us. So we're really quite lucky to be working on this and hopefully making an impact.
Hi, this is Bridie here. Me and Libby work in the training and education department of RSPH. We're passionate about educating the public and providing resources for the public to access to help them with their personal health. And then off the back of the Scroll Free September campaign, we decided to produce a resource that we could release free and would be accessible for anyone who wanted to gain a more meaningful relationship with social media and finding the balance. So yeah, that's the project that me and Libby are working on at the moment, which is really exciting. And we will be talking about that more.
Yeah, so I'm Olivia, or Libby, and I work with Bridie in our training and education department. We develop training and e-learning on a range of subjects. So social media is kind of the latest program, but we've produced programs on sleep and salmonella and all sorts of other things as well.
So I guess the most important question that I have right now is, what is Scroll Free September for people that aren't in the UK, and why is it so important?
Yeah, so I think firstly it's worth saying that one of the main reasons this was drawn to our attention as an issue is the fact that the public demand for this is so high. I think a lot of us discuss quite a lot of the time about how we use social media too much, how we can, you know, go through a feed and leave that newsfeed feeling quite negative about ourselves. And so what we've tried to do over the last few years is look into why this is, why people have such a complicated relationship with social media, and how we can improve this. And so Scroll Free September is really an opportunity for all social media users to take some time out and to take a break and reflect on why they use social media, what they like about it and what they don't, and build a better, more balanced relationship with platforms. And the idea is you can take part in Scroll Free September in a variety of ways. So there's a number of different plans and you don't have to give it up completely. So whilst going cold turkey is one option, there are a variety of others. And really the idea is that, you know, social media can be great. It often is great. It should be used as a force for good. But sometimes, as with anything, it can have some negatives. And what we want to do is ensure that everyone takes some time to think about, you know, what they may do for them and use it in a way which, you know, best suits them.
You were talking just now about the high public demand for something like Scroll Free September. And I'm wondering, was this something that came about from your research? Was it particularly from looking at, say, a specific demographic like kids, that there was that need there? Or was this just something that came up ambiently, something that you just gradually became aware of from media?
So yeah, the research does show, I mean, ours and generally, that ages 16 to 24 use social media the most and will have the, will probably experience the effects of it more, whether this is because they're growing up with it and they're 16, they're coming out into the world as adults, and this is how they build their social skills and learn about the world around them through social media, or whether it's because they're at an age where maybe our emotions and, you know, feelings are could be affected more. But actually, it's not just that age group. We found that more and more older people are using social media as well. A lot of elderly people who might not be able to leave the house as easily to communicate with their friends using social media. So as opposed to just becoming a young people's mental health priority, it's now spreading and becoming more of a medium that affects the whole population across the world.
So it sounds to me that the objective of Scroll Free September is not to come off social media entirely or to leave all technology, but rather to be more aware, or to have people be more aware of how social media makes them feel and their general usage of it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's about using social media in a way which benefits you. And, you know, overall, the reason anyone should be using social media is because they want to be there, because they want to be on that platform engaging with it, not because they're pressured to do so because of some push notification or, you know, for any other reason. For example, if they feel like they're missing out on something, if they're not online.
I just want to pick up on this whole idea of problematic technology use, because I think it's something that could be a little bit vague for listeners now. I'm interested to know, what were the behaviours exactly that designated problematic technology use? Was it something simply like time spent on a particular program or device, or was it something else?
Sure. Actually, our most recent research, which we launched last week with the kind of pre-launch of the campaign this year, revealed that the public believe the most toxic elements of social media to be, number one, committed as triggering content, so any content that reminds you of a negative experience. And the like button came out very high in that as well. So, you know, comparing your self-worth, I guess, in a sense, to the number of likes you receive is, of course, not going to be beneficial to mental health and well-being. On the other side of things, we also looked into the most meaningful elements of social media, those aspects that we want to kind of encourage people to benefit more from. Number one came out as memes, so, you know, that's lovely. And two and three were holding organizations and public figures to account, and number three was providing access to health information. So included in that was finding access to mental health advice, which can be something quite beneficial for those who, you know, might not feel confident to go into the real world and engage in discussions or don't have access to services, which we know is a problem, especially in the UK. So, you know, there's toxic elements and there's meaningful elements, but...
Yeah, it's... I mean, as Niamh said, it's just, it's not a clear-cut sort of thing, and we're not encouraging people to give up social media altogether, because we do, you know, we are firm believers that it can be harnessed for good, and that's one of the things that we are very adamant on sort of including in our e-learning, is that each of the sections cover the positive and negative aspects and kind of results of social media use. So one of the sections focuses on self-image and the way that social media can positively and negatively impact our body image and self-esteem. So obviously we all know that viewing endless images of sort of thin, idealized, often photoshopped people, particularly on Instagram, that are kind of presented as a normal body type, which we should all be striving towards, is obviously negative for our self-esteem and can lead to us to have a negative body image. However, there are kind of increasing numbers of prominent body positive accounts, particularly on Instagram again, such as Body Posy Panda and Jamila Jamil's Eyeway community. And they provide like an alternative to the mainstream media's sort of narrow depiction of beauty ideals. And a lot of people find them really valuable in promoting messages that support positive body image and body acceptance. So it's definitely not a clear cut.
I think this is really interesting and important because one of the things that you were just mentioning about what people do after the event is of critical importance. There are a lot of campaigns that I've seen where taking a period of time away from technology is encouraged, but then having that structured e-learning program to deal with some of the insights that would be gained during that month is of particular importance, particularly a resource that people can access whenever it is that they want.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about the launch for this program. It's called Looking After Your Selfie, and it's basically going to be a guide to finding your balance on and offline. That's what the kind of subline is. And then it covers five main topics, which are loneliness and relationships, self-image and self-esteem, sleep, bullying, and then resources and signposting. So, I mean, it's, as you know, social media is such a broad, covers so many broad things, and technology in itself with in relation to health, but we've explored four topics that we think are most useful and maybe have the biggest impact on social media users, and then we will be signposting to further resources, which hopefully the users will find useful.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a sort of, once it launches in October, that won't be it, sort of it finished and left. Obviously, this is such a new topic area and research is kind of emerging every day. So we'll certainly be updating the program in light of kind of the findings and the emerging research and making sure we stay up to date on kind of the latest evidence.
We're lucky enough to be working with academics on this. So people within each of the topics who we will be working with to keep the content updated. So,
And accurate.
And accurate.
Oh, that's fascinating. And again, you were talking about the academics that you're working with to create this fantastic content. Oh, just one thing actually before I go on to the next question. This e-learning content, is that free for people or is there a cost?
Yes, so that will be free and available to access via our website. So you can actually register your interest in the program now, and that will mean that, you know, we'll pop you over an email once the e-learning is launched and will be available to access, which, as I said earlier, will be October 16th. Once the program is launched, you could just visit the e-learning section of our website and the program's available free to access on there.
And you can kind of go into each topic as you wish and revisit the program. It tracks your progress. So it's quite a large program compared to some of the other resources out there, which are kind of small introductory things. So you can dip in and out of each topic of which things that you think would be most relevant to you. And it tracks your progress. So you can complete it over a period of time.
I guess this is just like a kind of quick personal question, but I'm really interested to know about these different stakeholder groups or these different groups of people that are starting to engage now with Scroll Free September, because I'm writing saying that this is the second year that the campaign's been run.
It is, yeah, it is. And, you know, when we first launched the campaign, we were pleased prior to the even kicking off in September. We had so much engagement from such a range of organisations and stakeholders, from academics working in this area to, you know, industry representatives, a lot of digital mindfulness apps, and yeah, just so many of the public as well. Also, it's been great to have universities and schools on board, and we've developed a lesson plan this year as well for schools, which was something that schools called for last year, and so we were able to develop that, which, you know, it's great to see the interest in this, and we really do hope that it can make a difference. Especially thinking about schools, those younger children who are growing up in really as digital natives, I suppose we could call them. It's just vital that they are equipped with the tools and the resilience to, you know, tackle the online world. And whilst it's not, you know, solely their responsibility to do so, and there is a huge role for industry to play in that and government as well, it's certainly something that we want to support progress on, and, you know, developing lesson plans and hosting campaigns like this and encouraging the public to get involved at all ages is really important to that.
I was just going to say, we've been really delighted at the feedback and the engagement that we've had from various organisations and individuals that we've approached and asking for support with both the campaign and the e-learning development. So as Bridie mentioned, we're working with a number of academics, but we're also working with the Diana Award. We're working with the Children's Sleep Charity, a number of other organisations, and actually quite prominent Instagram influencers who have also come on board. And I think the fact that you have people who kind of rely on Instagram engagement in many ways, but are still on board with kind of encouraging their followers to maybe take some time out and reflect on their social media use, is just indicative of how important this campaign and the program is, and how needed it is.
I really want to, I think this is, so this actually was a question I was going to ask previously, but this whole idea of the need and the necessity for the campaign, where do you think this has come from? Like, why do you think, like, right now in 2019, that there is such a public clamour for campaigns, for awareness raising campaigns like this?
I think that with something like social media and the online world, it moves so quickly, and, you know, regulation has just not had a chance to catch up. And I think sadly we're seeing some of the more negative effects of that at the moment. And so, you know, as well as doing a public facing campaign, we are working quite hard with government and influencers and, you know, the likes of social media platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Google, etc., as well, to try and ensure that whilst public campaigns are great, there is, you know, real room for regulation in this area. We really welcome the Online Harms White Paper, which came out earlier this year from the government, and a lot of what that proposed reflected many of the calls to action from our new filters report, which we published earlier this year with the APPG, so the All Party Parliamentary Group, on social media. One call they have made in that report, which we endorse, is the establishment of an online harms regulator. So, you know, the idea for that would be to really treat, I guess, online harms, but social media in particular from our end, as a public health issue and one of public concern. And so, you know, we've seen the huge kind of negative implications that certain aspects of social media platforms can have. You know, it can lead to the loss of life, unfortunately, for some people, as we've seen earlier this year. And so there's just huge kind of momentum behind this, and it's unfortunate it's taken, you know, quite negative things to make that happen. But what we want to do now is drive forward with, you know, influencers across the board, really, to ensure that with this campaign we have regulation in place to ensure that the UK can, you know, lead a great example to the rest of the world, I suppose, as well, in tackling online harms, and particularly mitigating against the potential negatives of social media whilst, you know, maximising those positives.
I think as well, the need sort of stems from, so with the advent of social media is kind of the development of what is known as 24/7 culture. So it's that pressure that we all feel to be available and responsive 24 hours a day. So you might leave the office at 5:30, but you're still checking your emails at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and you know, you're still getting push notifications through Facebook and other social media websites at all times of day and night, and that can impact your sleep. And I think that pressure and that sort of fear of missing out, or FOMO, can lead individuals to be on their phones 24/7 and not give themselves time to sort of switch off and unwind, which we all need. It's pivotal to all our sort of mental health and well-being.
One of the things that we've been just speaking about in depth is the role or the importance of policy in helping to address some of the ills that you were speaking about that the campaign addresses. With some of the people who have been on the show previously, and which is also replete in the media, there's a lot of emphasis on the importance of the roles of the social media companies or the technology companies themselves, and also of the caregivers, to raise awareness of some of, again, the importance of taking time out from the way that we use social media. So I'm interested in your take on this. Do you think that the caregivers or the technology companies have more responsibility, or is it lawmakers?
I think, you know, it's about looking at the whole picture. So whilst we really welcome the recommendations of the Online Harms White Paper, many of our calls we have made, what we really are, you know, striving for is an online harms regulator. And the idea would be that this would, under a pluripraise principle, be funded by industry, and so put in place measures to ensure that that duty of care is upheld by industry, upheld by platforms, to ensure that social media users are there and they are safe when they are on platforms from the outset.
I think the medical director of the NHS actually advised earlier this year that social media companies need to do more to stop celebrities and influencers advertising diet products and appetite suppressants and products such as that, because of the harmful impact that they're having, particularly on young people and particularly on young women.
And what we have aimed to do with this is produce people with resources that give people the tools to know how to recognise when something might be harmful or when something might not be factual, and therefore kind of take some of the responsibility into their own hands if they can. Because, I mean, there's so many things like fake news and all these stuff out there that many people won't have ever have heard that they could be harmful. Mm-hmm. And because we are old enough to have known a world before social media, and so can maybe recognise when things are damaging, a lot of young people or people who are just coming into using social media now will not be able to recognise those things. So it's kind of giving them the tools to do so.
Yeah, it's encouraging the social media organisations and policymakers to make necessary changes, but also empowering social media users to develop a healthy relationship themselves.
And, you know, the Scroll Free September campaign really wants to encourage social media users to take back that control. And with the e-learning following up from that, I think it's about harnessing that control and, you know, taking that seat and driving forward your relationship with platforms and ensuring that's in a meaningful way. And that's why it's so great to, you know, have this free resource to kind of roll out to whoever wants to use it, really, you know, so that they can build that relationship and, you know, have a better time online, really.
One thing that is especially noticeable to me is that Scroll Free September focuses exclusively on social media. And whilst I know, of course, there are issues with the use of social, or the problematic use of social media, I'm wondering what the vision is for the campaign going forward. Are you going to focus a lot more on other forms of technology that that encourage problematic use? And I'm thinking of, I don't know, something like email, for example.
Yeah, so what one of the newest elements of the campaign this year is that we're also encouraging users of online gaming platforms to use the Scroll Free September campaign as an opportunity to take a break from that. So this added focus to tackle, gambling. I said online gaming. The added focus to tackle gambling harm, which can come through games, of course, is with support of the Bet Regret campaign. So we're working with them to encourage those who bet to think twice and avoid making any impulsive bets. Recent research from the Gambling Commission found that, you know, nearly half of online gambling takes place on mobile phones, with online gambling taking a growing share of all gambling activities across England and Wales. So with the inclusion of gambling sites and apps, Scroll Free September really wants to support the work of the Bet Regret campaign by asking online gamblers to self-exclude by taking part in one of our campaign plans. So branching out to this is another way in which we've, been quite keen to broaden out our horizons in terms of how we mitigate all of those harms which people can, come into contact with online. Certainly on the meaningful side of things, we've partnered this year with Audible, and we're really pleased to, be encouraging people to use technology in a great way where you can, go to bed with a nice book and listen to that instead of, using technology in a way where you're just, staring at your screen essentially. So there's a range of angles this will hopefully go down, and we're definitely open to all suggestions, and we're
guided by emerging technology, and it's such an ever-changing landscape that I think we have to remain flexible and open-minded into where sort of the campaign and these sorts of projects go.
Are you finding that there are other initiatives that are springing up around the world related to, in relation to Scroll Free September? Like, do you see that this is more like a global movement, or is it really localized to Western Europe, North America?
I think it's certainly fair to say that the UK are, quite established in this area in comparison to other nations. I know of a lot of work taking place across the world, but I think that a campaign like this, Writing Saying, is the first of its kind. It's the first public-facing campaign to tackle, social media and, try and help users build that meaningful, healthy, long-standing relationship with it. I know the e-learning is the first of its kind as well, as a free resource. And, the campaign, of course, is also free to get involved with. So it's open to all people internationally. And we were delighted to see last year and into this year that we have sign-ups from across the world, from Brazil, Peru, to Australia, even Singapore. So, it's great. It really has taken off on an international level. And, what I can say is I hope there are similar initiatives across the world and that we can just keep driving this message forward.
So for people listening to the show now, what are some of the ways that they can get involved in the campaign?
Firstly, I would say go on to scrollfreesetember.org.uk and sign up to the campaign.
It's not too late.
it's never too late to build a healthy, balanced and meaningful relationship with social media. And spread the word really on our message. It's not about giving up social media completely. It's about building that balanced, meaningful relationship with it moving forward. Following that, I would say register your interest for the e-learning.
Yeah, so as of October 16th, e-learning will be on our website and free to access, as we said, and continually updated. So there won't be a time when this e-learning won't be relevant to you. So please do give it a go.
And please also feel free to register your interest in e-learning now. So we have an interest form, and we'll contact you as soon as the program's launched. So make sure that you don't miss out.
One final thing is, ironically, use the hashtag #ScrollFreeSeptember for all kind of promotion of the campaign. And I think finally, we probably say anyone who feels like they do have a bit of a complicated relationship with social media, I know myself, I most of the time do, just take an opportunity to look up from your phone really and look at the world around you and take some time to reflect on, how do you feel about what you've just seen in your news feed? Maybe do a declutter of your feed for a start. Just take that time to reflect and think about, why are you spending so much time online? Why not? What do you like? What don't you?
And if it's the socialising aspect of it that you love, then take that into the real world and make sure you chat with a friend over social media, but then make the effort to meet up with them offline and carry on with those intimate relationships.
Well, Bridie, Neem and Olivia, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and taking us through what you're doing at Scroll Free September. It's a really fantastic campaign and I wish you all the very best with it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Digital Mindfulness podcast. Be sure to visit our website to access everything we've discussed on the show. If you like this episode, please rate and give us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again, and join us next week for another episode.